pretzels.
Look.
What, Chips?
Look.
Who's the new guy?
Fanta.
I think he's looking at me.
Pretzels, you got it twisted. He's looking at me.
Stop being salty, Chips. We both got a chance.
Shh, he's coming over.
Ladies.
Hi.
And hello to you.
Back at you, handsome.
Fanta picked beef jerky?
Girl, we're gonna be here a while.
Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. Welcome to the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. This is episode 31. Take a mental vacation with us. We are sharing about our recent trip to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Please like, share, and subscribe to the Resilient Pathway. Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a consultant for organizational culture and available to speak to you and your team by Zoom. Contact me today, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com. Like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. Hello, welcome to our podcast, episode 31, Taking a Mental Vacation. I am recording this broadcast due to a request from Dixie. So this is dedicated to you, Dixie. Just that you wanted to hear about how adventurous my trip was, and I seemed rushed when I was just giving a quick synopsis when we had a social gathering on Zoom, and of course I wouldn't have time to tell about the details. Think about your last vacation, your last time that you got to relax. This is a very stressful time for us, and so it's a really good practice to think back to a real positive, happy time. And that's what we're doing today, and I'm inviting you to join me. So my trip was in February of 2020, and I was celebrating a milestone birthday. I was supposed to go with a travel companion, and the person had to cancel the trip, and that was COVID-19 related. So I whisked away by myself to Rio, and I actually stayed across the bay in Niterói. The reason that we had chosen to stay in Niterói is because of the view of Rio. And there was a beautiful rooftop pool where I would go and swim every night. And as I would swim, I would watch the moon and the view of Rio, and it was just phenomenal, and even during the day. So when you look at the podcast, the cover photo is from the rooftop pool view, and even from my balcony, that was the view that we looked at every day. There was a transportation challenge, though, and I did not predict this when I planned the trip. From Niterói to Rio, there's a bridge and usually traffic. There's also a ferry. And when I first arrived at the Rio airport, I had taken some safeguards. And I'm a pretty seasoned traveler in Europe and throughout the United States of America. First time in South America. I did have a trip to Tulum, Mexico. However, it was nothing like this. So I had taken cash with me that I ordered from my bank because many people online talked about the ATMs at the airport not being safe to use. A lot of people also talked about using Uber. And I did have a local on the flight, and he recommended hiring the state taxi to take me to the airport. So I had some decisions to make. And I have a pretty good experience taking the Uber. I liked the idea that it was on the phone using GPS for safety. Also, the transaction automatically with the credit card. I didn't have to worry about local currency because I had also read there's a high robbery rate. So I really didn't want to show cash or anything in transactions if I didn't have to. So I was aware in a different way than I've ever been aware before. Like, for example, when I've been to Prague or Barcelona, we were informed there's pickpocketers. However, there is no violent crime or robbery. Like, nobody's going to come up to you and grab your phone. However, the crime rate for robbery in the Niterói and Rio area being very high, so I had that in my thinking. So I take the taxi ride. There is a lot of traffic. It's in the afternoon, and it's my birthday. And so this first experience really affected how I planned the rest of the trip. This driver took me to Niterói and circled me around. And you would think they're accountable because of the GPS and being with Uber. He circled me around. I said something. He did take me to the hotel. When he dropped me off, he did not end the ride, and he continued it. So I'm trying to check into the hotel while I'm on Twitter telling Uber, what do I do? You know, I'm a woman. I'm traveling alone. I'm so grateful that I made it safely. And yet, he's continued the meter. Now, honestly, financially, the American dollar at the time was very strong, and it wasn't a lot of money. It was probably half the price that it took me, even with the circling around, than it was in my hometown to go to the airport from my house, which is about a 20-mile drive with no traffic. So just to give that perspective, in my mind, it wasn't about the money. It was just I had a really bad experience, and it affected me. So I did report it to Uber, and I did get the half of the refund. It was about a double the fare than it should have been. So that was not a problem, but my confidence in taking Uber was affected. And so I ended up taking the bus. I also took the ferry a few times. It was very interesting because the structure isn't there, and there's even a metro. And it's not like on the bus it's telling you where the stops are. And so also, a lot of the locals don't speak English, and I found out from interacting with them that if they do speak English, they don't feel very confident, so they'll just speak Portuguese. When I travel, especially when I travel alone, I like to interact with the locals. And so this was perfect for me to be taking the bus and interacting and get to knowing the locals. And even being in Niterói, even though the hotel was very nice, in this region, wherever I would take a walk, like I could be in a very nice neighborhood, for example, in Ipanema, turn a corner, and there's the favela. And the favelas were everywhere intermixed with the neighborhoods. And this is the place where there's the old structures where the very poor people live, and there's not always running water and electricity. And so the advisement, very strongly, not only did people tell me, do not walk at night in Rio. So I've never been to a place where I was told, don't walk at night. And especially when I'm traveling alone, I normally won't go out at night. And so that was the reason I chose this hotel, is I said, oh, there's a nice pool at night. I'm just going to relax and enjoy the pool and the view. And okay. But so not only was I told, do not go alone at night, it was also, do not go into this favela. Turn around. because there are incidents. For example, this couple, they were visiting from Europe. It was nighttime. The app took them to a street, and it was the same street name, and the app got confused. So it was the Waze app's fault. And they went into the favela, and they were shot and killed because these leaders of these neighborhoods, they are, what I read, this is all what I studied and read, is that they are the ones who are dealing the cocaine. They are in charge of those neighborhoods. If you just drive in unannounced, they don't know why you're there. There was another incident where there was a police barricade at the entrance of a favela, and a lady did not stop, and the police shot and killed her. So I'm very aware of this, especially riding the bus. So the first time I take the bus, I go to Ipanema, and there was no traffic because it was a weekend. This is a week before Carnival is starting. It was early. And so Ipanema, I'm just going to tell you some about it. It's beautiful. Now, the beach is a normal beach. It's not like there's a beautiful view. So it kind of reminded me of going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so there is a boardwalk area where people are walking. Very crowded beach, even though it was very early in the morning on a weekend. Lots of activity. You do not leave your things alone on any beach unless it's a very local. I did go to some beaches in Niterói on the side where my hotel was. That was more local, the beaches that I found. And yes, we could leave our things on the beach and go in the water. So Ipanema, I went in the water, and so I had asked this family, a local family, to watch my stuff, and they did. And so I get in the water, and I grew up swimming in the ocean, and this just took me by surprise because I'm about knee length in the water, and that wave, this wave just came and slammed me and took me under and kept me under. And boy, was I grateful when I got out from under that wave. And so I'm trying to come out of the water, and knees, up to my knees, the water, the wave just knocked me down. Now, I'm pretty healthy and strong. I can say that I'm strong. And I can say that I've been in the waters in the Pacific Ocean as well as in Hawaii. And this, wow, this was just something different. And so there I was, alone, safe, a little shook up, and this is the first weekend that I'm there, first time getting in the water. So then there was a hippie fair in Ipanema. It happens every Sunday morning, and that was real unique to visit. And then I was going to walk to the lagoon, and then to the gardens. There's botanical gardens, and they're on the heel of an urban rainforest. And I ended up taking the bus. So right next to the hippie fair, I go and I sit, and there's a local gal, and she told me she's been waiting 40 minutes. Oh my. So we waited together. It's the same bus. I get on the bus, and she's going to the botanical gardens. And I know the lagoon is close by, but there are these two local ladies, and they just start yelling at us in Portuguese. No, everything's changed because of the carnival and the preparations, and people are starting to march in the street with street parties. There was a street party that was happening near the gardens. And so they were very helpful, and they told me where to get off the bus. It was right next to the lagoon, and to walk. And so that's what I did. And at the lagoon where I stopped, there was like a resort where you have to be a member. And so that was really nice to see that at the lagoon, they do have a nice place for people to lounge in the sun and get in the water. And the rest of the lagoon It is a loop. It's a large loop where the locals walk and they get their exercise. And again, it was on a Sunday, so lots of people there walking around the loop. And people also are enjoying the fresh coconut. So it's the huge coconut, and they drill a hole, and you put a straw in it, and then you drink it. I found out this, in the tropical heat, was the most refreshing drink. And so that's what I found as my favorite. And from there on, whenever I would go to a beach or take a walk and I was hot, I would get that big coconut and drink the water. And at the lagoon, the lady that was selling it, her son was playing, and so she's watching him because it was a weekend and there was no school. And then also, she had this hatchet, and she was breaking the coconut apart after we drank it, and we could eat the coconut. So that was just a really nice treat. Then as I'm walking towards the botanical gardens, I see a street fair where there's produce. And I'm walking along, and it was around lunchtime. And so there was this, it looked like a crepe, but it's not a crepe, and it's made out of some kind of like a cornmeal. And it's like a crepe, and then you choose your toppings. So for me, it was tomatoes and cheese and oregano. And it's like a folded crepe. It was so good. So I enjoyed that. And then I walked to the botanical gardens. Now, these are not gardens. I've never seen anything like this in North America. And I even lived in South Florida for 7 years. And so it was really a rainforest. It was really a tropical rainforest, huge, like unbelievably beautiful. So this area, this part of Rio, is wonderful to visit. And it was at what they call the armpit of Christ the Redeemer statue. So during that day, I would just look up and I would see the Christ the Redeemer statue, and it was way up high. And there was a place not too far from the botanical gardens where people could enter, and I heard people say it was like a 3-hour hike. Now, to get to Christ the Redeemer, because I did that on a different day, people can either take a shuttle from Copacabana Beach, or there is a train. So you go to a location, and the train will take you up straight to the statue. What was interesting is once you get up there, you get off the, because I took the train, you get off the train, and then there's steps, and there's also escalators that take you right there. And as you get there, there's a wonderful place where you can have fresh fruit smoothies. And I mean, I was watching them chop up the fruit and make the smoothie. It was that good. So that's an experience to go up there, and not just the views. But what really impacted me was the day that I'm at the gardens and I see the entrance of where people are hiking, I realize the economics of it, that many of the Brazilians have not been to the Christ the Redeemer statue because it's too expensive to take the taxi or the van from Copacabana or the train. It's too expensive for them. And so whether they can do that 3-mile hike, it's straight up is what it looks like to me, because that was at the base that day. So they haven't seen the beautiful landmark up close. And it's about the equivalent of $15. That was the exchange rate on my credit card. Again, the dollar was very strong. So the botanical gardens were just beautiful. And the structure of it is there's Ipanema Beach. And then there's a few blocks walking through neighborhoods of Ipanema with cafes and restaurants. And then getting to the lagoon, it's on the other side. So it's like a little peninsula area. And then adjacent to the lagoon is the botanical garden. Kind of a hike to walk at all, but and especially in the heat, but beautiful area. So I wanted to talk about that. And I know I talked about the Christ the Redeemer statue. So beautiful up there. I know I've seen the statue lit up at night from my hotel. So it would be beautiful to go at night. So that would be the next time I go, what I would like to do. Also, from my hotel, I would see this tram at night, and I could see the lights going up a mountain. And I was wondering, what is that? Well, that's Sugarloaf. So that was another day that I went on the side, and I went to Coco Cabana Beach, and then I went to the Sugarloaf Mountain. And it's this tram. It's actually two trams going up two levels of the mountain. And what I found interesting there that was different than Christ the Redeemer statue is they have it built up with restaurants as well as cafes and shops and live music. So it's a place where people could go and spend the whole day. And that was wonderful. And that was even more expensive than going to Christ the Redeemer statue. I think the rate was like $25, which was, that's a lot of money in Brazil to spend to see a landmark. And not, that's kind of normal in the States, but in context, the normal Brazilian worker cannot pay that. So again, a beautiful view, and I would like to visit that and take a whole day and then stay the evening. And there are times when they have concerts. Concerts in the evenings with live music and the views. The only thing a local told me, she said, yes, I did go to a concert, and I did go there one time. She said what was frightening is being on the tram coming back down the mountain and people are drunk. So that was a consideration. That's something else that I noticed being in Brazil was the public drinking. Very different. I would walk in the grocery store. And so the first day that I was there, I was walking in Niterói. There's a tropical park with a festival every Saturday. And so I did that. And there was this lady dressed in a colorful costume, and she was making grilling like coconut and had a lot of sweets from coconut. And so this local was explaining to me what it was, and so I tried it. It was really good. So I'm enjoying mingling with the people, and I'm enjoying eating the food and walking around. And so I saw a grocery store, and I thought, oh, I'll go get some water. I need some for my hotel anyway. And sometimes you can find something cold in the grocery section. Well, the only thing cold right next to the bananas and the apples and oranges and tropical fruits was bottled Smirnoff. And as I'm leaving, I noticed there were some young people and they were drinking the Smirnoff on the sidewalk as they walked. Then there was another night, there was a very nice grocery store right next to my hotel. And so a lot of times I would eat the local cheese at night, and I'd go to the store to get a tomato or some lime or something that I just wanted to add to what I had. It may have been leftovers from lunch because I'd have a nice lunch when I was out. And so I'm there and there's lines. And it was odd that there were lines like 8 o'clock at night. And so there's this lady in front of me, and she's holding two bottles of Budweiser. And while we're waiting, she just opens one of them and starts drinking. And so I start laughing, and I'm like, should I open my chocolates? Well, she didn't understand English, but she's understanding my body language because nonverbal communication is about two-thirds. So the lady behind me speaks English, and she says, you know, I respect your laws in the United States, because here, what about the children? That the children are seeing people drink in the streets on a normal day. I saw people coming on the bus drinking, and they knew how to behave, so there wasn't any rowdiness, and I always felt safe. However, it was just everywhere that people could just drink anytime, even in the stores. And even though it was about a week before Carnival, and I was there through the week, just going through the cities, being with the locals, and there were street parties, this was just like in a normal neighborhood on a normal day, like even on a Sunday morning. So that stood out to me. But again, very beautiful, the food. Even there were a few times I went to a local hole-in-the-wall kind of place where they say pick two meats and pick. You can have all the vegetables and carbs that you want. And so the way the Brazilians eat, it was the best breakfast, fresh fruits, a lot of pastries and breads. That's just, if you like carbs and fruits, wow. And then their meals, heavy on meat, and then again, carbs. So one time when I sat in a restaurant to order a steak, they brought me farro, they brought me rice, and they brought me french fries with the steak. Like, how many carbs do you need? And that is how they eat. That's what a local told me. Yes, that's what they do. So the food, I did like it. I loved the fruit, unbelievably fresh, and just the taste was amazing. The cheeses, I even ate in Copacabana, which was more touristy, meaning they would charge a service fee where other restaurants everywhere else would not charge. And so I did eat at a Middle Eastern place, and it was really good. Again, they brought me a lot of pita and a lot of extra bread with what I ordered. And the service fee was like $1.50. It was, you know, so if you want to have a good vacation, even Copacabana Beach, I wasn't staying on Copacabana Beach, so I wanted to visit, and I went a few times, and there are different posts. So the post number one is at the beginning, and I think it's six that's at the end, and it's crescent-shaped, and it is not overhyped. It's truly beautiful white sand beaches. And the thing about there is all the hotels are across the street, and at post one, there's a wonderful market of locals selling things, and then across the street, long strand of beach, and then the water. And then once I got to the water, just getting a chair with an umbrella was the equivalent of $5. And then this is where you go to people watch, as well as there are people walking around with really nice offerings, like the acai bowls, beautifully presented with bananas and granola. And I would eat acai every day wherever I was. Shrimp on a skewer, just beautifully presented. Just different things like this. And the people that I rented the chair from and the umbrella, they would bring a menu and people would order. And they brought me my coconut, so I was drinking the coconut. And that's where the restaurant was with a service fee that day, because I did go walk off the beach and eat. And then there's post number six, which is on the end near Ipanema. And so I really liked that end because there was a cafe and a very small piece of sandy beach and then the water. So I could sit at the cafe, enjoy my coconut, walk in the water, and go back to the cafe and have my seat. And I did see other people doing that as well. And then there were, you could also rent your chair with your umbrella. And it was quiet there. There weren't so many people circling around selling things. And so have your pick in Copacabana of what you prefer. And beautiful hotels throughout. And so it was very nice, and I was not there at night. The only experience I had at night was going to Carnival. And I did buy a ticket for Carnival from a local in the local section. It's section 12. So they do have different views in these sections, and they do have a tourist section. And in section 12, it was very local. It's where the Samba schools will sell the tickets for an equivalent of like $5. And I wanted to be with the locals. And getting there was very challenging. Again, the taxi driver cannot get so close because so many roads are blocked off. Buses are not running or have the alternate schedules. So people said the metro. And that was an experience, just trying to find where to buy the ticket. Because I walked all the way down in the metro following the crowd, and they said, no, you have to go upstairs to buy the ticket. I never experienced that in a subway station. And where to buy the ticket, it was booths in one specific area. It took me a while to find that. And so then I'm walking through the street parties, and it felt out of control to me. That's not my thing. It's not the reason I was going to Carnival. A lot of drinking and crowds, and it was 7 at night. And these street parties are happening throughout Carnival weeks before, and it's even some of them are starting 5 in the morning. You know, some of them are saying we're taking the ferry to this island 6 in the morning. So it was all day and all night having these parties, and you could tell the streets were just polluted. So I did have to walk from the ferry to the metro. Nothing's easy in Rio. It's not like you get off the ferry and you get on a train. There is a train, but it was closed because of Carnival. I did not understand the reasoning. And Google didn't tell me it was closed. Google told me I would get off the ferry and take a train ride, and no. And so the locals are explaining, you have to go find the subway station, and what I had to walk through, that frightened me because of just people being drunk and partying, and it was very unpredictable feeling to me. So I did take the metro to the Sambadrome. It's not the best area, and then just finding this section was a walk, and there were other people walking, and that felt better. It was more of a contained area there. Now, once I got in the Sambadrome, they did have security, and once I walked in, I felt so safe, and it was quiet and calm. I was with the locals all night, and we watched the sun rise, and where we were, it was in the grandstands, and so basically, I was watching a parade from afar. So I was really paying attention to the floats. And I know there are comments about the women are scantily dressed. Well, you can't really see that from the grandstands. And they do have a video screen where they're showing. So you could see that perspective. But mostly it was seeing the local people dancing the samba and the floats, and they were in costumes. And I was just enjoying it with the locals and didn't understand. There were political commentaries with these floats and the different schools. And so I picked up on some of it being with the locals and even studying it afterwards. So that was fascinating to me from a tourist's eyes with the locals. It was very safe. People were drinking more Red Bull because they were dancing samba, needed energy, staying up all night. And there was a local family that embraced me. The mom was a local in the samba school, and she was in the parade, and she came and joined us like 2 in the morning. We had some pizza to take a break and then went back and were watching the parade. And again, when the sunlight came up, this family, they were from Niterói, and they wanted to get me back. And I had planned to just take a taxi or an Uber. What they did is they put me on a van because they knew Niterói. And they were like, it'll take you to the central station. And I knew the bus to take back to my hotel because this was at the end of my vacation after 10 days. So I knew exactly how to get around there. And if you take me to the central bus station where the ferry is, I yeah, I know what bus to take. It's a short ride. And so they put me on this white van. It's very local. And so I'm sitting there like 6:30 in the morning. I'm wearing this ribbon that they had bought me about one of the Sampa schools. And so they take me back. And that was an adventure because I had stayed up all night. And then my flight was that night. And I had to check out of the hotel and spend my day and not sleep. So I had two nights without sleep. That was really tiring coming back because it's a long international flight to get back to the States from Rio. I didn't realize how it would be like going to Europe, and it really was. But no time change. It was just an hour, but still very long flight. So I love the Brazilian people. They're very communicative, even though I spoke English and most they spoke Portuguese, and we communicated with our body language, being two-thirds nonverbal. Very helpful, very caring, and just a great trip and great experience. A lot of it was unpredictable. There were some stressors. It wasn't easy, and it was beautiful. So that's my story of my trip to Rio, February 2020. And thank you for listening. We all have a story, and this is a great time to tell it and to journal it and to focus on our happy place. Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a consultant for organizational culture and available to speak to you and your team by Zoom. Contact me today, alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com. Like, share, and subscribe to our podcast.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.